"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
In about 15 minutes, we got $1,000 to give away, and we've got more coverage of the protests. UCLA, it's been a little nuts. Not quite as insane as Columbia, where the terrorists have taken over the main administration building and have held hostages at times. And now are demanding to be fed. The UCLA campus, we're going to play you some clips of a Jewish student being denied entry to the library because the student believes that Israel should be a country. And then we've got a clip of a mother of a Jewish UCLA student calling the UCLA campus police because her kid can't get into the library. I don't know if it's the same kid or not, but we'll just listen to the clips coming up. There's also a protest with actual arrests at Cal Poly Humboldt, which is up in Arcata, California. That's in the northwest corner of the state near Oregon. And they've arrested 25 students there, according to the Los Angeles Times. We'll follow up on all that. But first, actually, a Donald Trump trial is peaceful in comparison to what's going on. And today, Trump was fined $9,000 because he won't shut up. He keeps violating the gag order of the judge, Juan Merchan. And we have Royal Oaks, the ABC News legal analyst, on the scene. Royal, how are you?
Doing great, John. And it might be a little calmer in the Trump trial today than Columbia and so on. But it could be interesting Thursday, because although Donald Trump was fined $9,000 today, $1,000 for each of nine posts that the judge said violated his rule, can't talk bad about the witnesses, can't talk bad about the jurors. On Thursday morning, John, there's going to be a hearing where four more alleged violations will be presented. The DA has offered this up to the judge, and the judge has said, I just may have to jail Donald Trump. Now, I don't think he's ever going to do that, because I think he knows Donald Trump would love it. I mean, just, you know, the Trump TV ads would write themselves. Here I am behind bars, put here by a Democrat judge and a Democrat DA, and Joe Biden is jetting around the country campaigning. So I don't think he's going to do that, but he could sock him with much larger financial penalties. So it's a really fascinating sideshow to the trial, which, of course, the main event will be Michael Cohen. That's going to be a couple of weeks down the road.
How much larger can the penalties be, considering Trump's wealth? He was able to satisfy that, what, $175 million bond a few weeks ago.
Right. You know, when you're in a civil context and you get hit with punitive damages, the idea there is, well, a jury has to hit Jeff Bezos with $1 billion or he's going to laugh at you. But in a criminal context, the judge has some discretion, but he can't vary too much from like $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, because it starts to seem punitive. But, the track record is, every time Donald Trump's indicted, boom, his numbers go up, he makes more money. If he were to be jailed, that would be huge, huge news.
Because it's going to be a standoff. Trump never backs down. He can afford the fines. So is Judge Merchan actually going to have the guts to put him in prison or in jail and deal with all the consequences? Because you never know when there's going to be a backlash from some crazy Trump followers. And you could have a real mess.
That's right. That's right. But, Trump actually has an argument to be made, which the judge has acknowledged. Now, when it comes to the jurors, you're not supposed to intimidate them and call them names and so on. That was his order. But when it comes to witnesses, Donald Trump's position has been, hey, Michael Cohen, he's out there. He wrote a book called Revenge. He's saying all sorts of terrible things about me. What, I'm supposed to just shut up and take it? And the judge actually said, if Michael Cohen starts to go after Donald Trump, then he might let Trump respond. But as of now, the judge has not been presented with evidence that Michael Cohen was really doing that. So, everybody is just firing at everybody else.
It would have to be like Cohen would have to go after Trump presently now. Or can Trump just bring back all the old grievances from Cohen's book and regurgitate their old battles?
No, he can't do that. The judge's attitude is there has to be a fresh new attack by Michael Cohen against Donald Trump, and then he might be able to respond to it. But Cohen's going to be just the nuclear core of this case, John. I mean, he's not going to have a smoking gun that says, aha, Trump knew that we were falsifying records and saying it was legal fees instead of money for Stormy. He's not going to have a smoking gun, a document that says Trump knew this was a violation of campaign laws. You're supposed to report it if you give yourself $130,000. Instead, it's going to be Michael Cohen looking in the eyes of the jury and saying, look, you may not like me much, and I've had my legal issues for Trump. But the fact is, it makes common sense that Trump and I were sitting around, and we agreed we were going to cook up this scheme, and it was going to be a violation of the law. The jury buys that, then Trump is toast. Of course, with the jury basically 90% anti-Trump anyway, based on the voting record in Manhattan, it may not take a whole lot to convince them to convict him.
Was Cohen ever convicted of anything related to the Stormy Daniels situation? I seem to have a hazy memory on that.
Yeah. So the idea was that Cohen gave her this $130,000. You knew it was really a campaign contribution. You didn't report it. And he entered into a plea deal on that. Then he was convicted of lying to Congress. So, yeah, he's had some legal trouble, both really pertinent to this dispute and also a little tangential to it. But the bottom line is, Trump's lawyer, this is going to be where he makes his money. He should have a field day impeaching this guy. When a guy writes a book called Revenge against Donald Trump, obviously he has this huge bias. He'd love to see the bad orange man in an orange jumpsuit. And, you got to take testimony like that with a grain of salt. On the other hand, if the jury is nodding along and thinking, that makes sense, I can see Trump agreeing with Cohen on that, then they could go against Trump on that basis.
I've always been kind of fascinated by the dynamics when you have a group of people charged with crimes, right? Whether it's a group of criminals breaking into a bank or people in a white-collar crime like this is, and one of them flips, and the immediate response from the remaining defendant is, well, you can't trust him. He's right. A convicted criminal. Well, yeah, he was part of the operation with you. That's why he's a convicted criminal. But I found it always be a weird dynamic. Who else are you going to get? I mean, you can't go to a convent and get three nuns. Of course, it's going to be the guy who's involved in the crime itself. He'd be able to tell the best story.
Now, that's a great point, because so often you got a bunch of people involved in a criminal enterprise, and the jury hears it's common sense. Of course, everybody involved in that, they're kind of crooked, so you can't trust everything they say. But if it has the ring of truth, if they got some documents backing it up, and that relates to the racketeering allegations against Trump down in Georgia. Trump was the top of a crime family. And the idea of the racketeering law is we're never going to get proof that John Gotti pulled the trigger. But if we've got proof that he told in fairly clear terms to his henchmen, I want you to go kill this guy and that guy, then you can get the top guy as well. And that's the theory against Trump when it comes to racketeering. And they're going to try to use the same idea, saying Trump and Cohen were in it together. And then Cohen got paid off and went his merry way.
All right, Royal, good talking with you again. See what happens next. Thanks for coming on, Royal Oaks, ABC News, about Trump getting fined $9,000 and maybe more fines coming on Thursday morning for more public assaults on all the other participants in this trial, including the jury and witnesses like Michael Cohen, the judge himself, too. All right, we come back. We got a couple of audio clips to play about our homegrown terrorism supporters at UCLA. We've got a Jewish student denied entry to the UCLA library. And then we have a clip of a mother of a Jewish student who, because he was denied access to the library. Now, we don't know if this is the same kid or not. It doesn't really matter. But she calls the UCLA campus police. And we'll see what the reaction was from the police.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Back to the protests all over the country. Now, the marquee protest is in New York City at Columbia University, because there, all right, they took hammers and smashed windows, and they've taken over a building, the administration building, and they even took some janitors hostage for a time. Now they're up there. They didn't plan this well. You know, you get a surge of adrenaline, you get all excited about that you're a revolutionary. You're a revolutionary. I read about this. these adults, think they're revolutionaries. Yeah, you're in New York City in America. This is the freest country in the world, and we're gonna show you how oppressed we are and how angry we are about being oppressed. You're in a country. At a university where they let you destroy things, they let you block all the other students from going to class, studying, and taking their exams. They're letting you do this. They're letting you take over a building. They're letting you take hostages along the way. And you feel oppressed. It's fascinating. Well, that's Columbia. Here at UCLA, they are blocking Jewish students. And here is a Jewish student denied entry into the UCLA library. Listen closely to this clip.
It's time to go. What? You don't have a wristband.
Why do I need a wristband?
It's time to go.
I can stand here if I want. I'm not moving. Okay, they're now cornering me. I'm not moving.
Kid can't get into the library.
Say whatever you want.
Are they chanting Allahu Akbar in the background?
No.
Yes, they are.
I mean no harm. I'm just standing here. Just showing you guys how pointless your blockade is. I got in through the other entrance, and now I'm standing here. You guys want to prevent Jewish students from entering? Fine.
Now we got a couple Jewish students. Are you Zionist?
Yeah, of course I'm Zionist. Okay, so you don't let Zionists in the library that I pay tuition for?
This is just fascinating. Yes. So the parents have paid tuition. By the way, we've all paid taxes to the federal government, and all these universities collectively get many, many billions and billions of dollars of our taxes. And yet the administration allows these Palestinian terrorists supporters, they're terrorists, they're supporting terrorists, and they control the library. I don't understand. The kid's parents paid for access to the library, and nobody in the administration will defend the right of that student and the parents who paid Columbia so that he could have the access to the library. They're not protecting or defending the student at all. Instead, these weird, I mean, they're chanting Allahu Akbar. I don't understand why people, are people so snowed by political correctness and cancel culture that you can't call this out for what it is? It's infiltration by terrorist groups and terrorist sympathizers who've now taken over a major U.S. university funded by U.S. taxpayers, tuition paid for by U.S. citizens, and nobody can use the place except the terrorists. Now, here's the mother of a Jewish student. Could be the same one. I don't know. It could be somebody different. Calling UCLA campus police.
Hi there. I'm trying to report my kid is not able to get into the library. They are bombarding him and not allowing him to get into the library, citing the need for some wristbands. Did UCLA issue wristbands to people?
I don't have any information on that if they did.
Okay, so what should he do? Because he can't enter the library, he can't enter his classes.
So whoever he's speaking to right there that's saying that they need wristbands, is he not able to ask them any information?
They said because he's Jewish, he cannot enter that area and that they won't issue him a wristband.
So that wasn't a university thing. That's probably the protesters that are out there.
Yeah. Right. So are the protesters allowed to not allow a student who pays tuition access to their class in the library?
No, they're not allowed. But unfortunately, they have kind of taken over that little area right there. but is there any other entrance that your son can enter through?
No, they are barricading every area for him to get into. And you know, with all due respect, why is that even tolerated? Like, why should a Jewish kid have to go to another entrance?
It's not, I don't know if I'm going to say it's tolerated, but unfortunately the police are not intervening with that right now.
Wait, stop a second. In this case, it's not outside police. That's the UCLA campus police. Unfortunately, the police are not intervening right now. Classic customer service response, isn't it? Saying the obvious. Of course they're not intervening. That's why she's calling. If they were intervening, her son would be in the library and the rest of those terrorists would be kicked off the campus. And she's got the perfect tone of voice of a customer service rep. Unfortunately, like she's trying to commiserate. She's, you know, yes, when somebody calls and complains, make sure you acknowledge their pain and their discomfort. So just, unfortunately, they're not intervening right now. Call back in a week. Maybe if they start killing Jews, then the campus police will intervene. But right now, you're just being denied access. And what's with the wristband? Does everybody have to wear a wristband to get in the library? Or just the Jewish kids? This is some sort of symbolism like they used to have in Nazi Germany? Play some more of this.
I'm intervening with that right now. And this is coming from the university. So if you had any questions or concern, you would take it with the university itself.
So the university has taken a stance that they will not, in fact, allow or help Jewish students get to their classes. That this is going to be tolerated.
We've received a directive to not intervene at this time, yes.
And what is the, at what point, have they given a directive to you at what point you should intervene?
As far as right now, no.
Okay. Is there anything we can do as concerned parents about?
I would suggest contacting the chancellor's office or higher ups in the university. Sure. With your concerns. I do have a phone number, but I don't know if they're going to answer.
Yeah.
If they're going to have a different answer, but I can give you a phone number.
Yeah. Could you give me that number?
310.
Mm-hmm.
825.
Mm-hmm.
2563. And you can ask your questions and express your concerns there and see if they have an answer for you.
Okay. Lastly, just so I know, at what point does UCPD get involved? Because if my child's safety...
So if your son is
So I'm calling and saying he needs police assistance to get into his class, that people aren't letting him into his class.
We're not forcing them to move out of the area. That's what, if he's getting attacked or he has a police concern, then yes, but the fact that it's just locked off, they're not intervening with that.
After he's getting attacked.
If he physically gets attacked, at that point, we should contact you.
All I'm saying is we're not unblocking the entrances.
So you're allowing the protesters to block the Jewish students from going?
I'm not allowing it.
Yeah.
The school is saying that they will not be removed at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, if they have you flat on the ground and they're choking you and kicking you and beating you, see if you could find your cell phone, dig it out of your pocket, and then you could call the campus police and maybe they'll intervene. The chancellor, she mentioned. We're going to talk about the chancellor when we come back, and we're going to talk about the sick faculty at UCLA who've joined the terrorists in the protest.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We just played two clips in the last segment, a Jewish student getting denied entry to UCLA's library by the Palestinian terrorists. It's happening right here in LA. And then the mother of a Jewish student at UCLA, don't know if it's same kid, but calling about her son being denied access to the library. You hear chanting of Allahu Akbar in the first clip by the terrorists. And the student is admonished by the terrorist, the Jewish student, for not having a wristband. Don't know what that's about. But when the mother called, she called the campus police, and she got one of those customer service robot drone responses that we're not intervening at this time. And suggested that the mother contact the chancellor And I thought, I wonder who the chancellor is. I never paid any attention to the hierarchy at UCLA. I'd never heard of this guy. I guess he's had a quiet tenure for a long time. His name is Gene Block. He's the chief executive officer, the chancellor at UCLA. And if you go to their page, it says he oversees all aspects of the university's three-part mission of education, research, and service. Doesn't say anything about coddling terrorists and denying Jewish students the freedom to go to the library. I mean, I don't see that as part of the mission statement. Maybe it's buried somewhere deep and I just didn't notice. So I'm looking up this Gene Block, and it says he manages UCLA's $7.5 billion budget. Wow, there's a lot of tax money in there, obviously. It's one of the jewels of the UC system, not to mention all the federal tax money. And it's got 43,000 students, 4,300 faculty, 42,000 employees. But only the Jews can't go in the library. The chancellor also plays a vital external role, serving as a thought leader. So what's the thought behind this? What is his leading thought? That supporters of Palestinian terrorism can block Jewish kids and chant Allahu Akbar at him. They can tell the mothers of Jewish students, it's like, we're not intervening at this time, unless he's attacked. I mean, maybe if he gets bloodied up a bit, yeah, then make a call. We'll see what we can do. And he's works with colleagues around the world to address challenges and opportunities at UCLA in public higher education. Well, here's a challenge. Here's an opportunity to show that as the CEO and the chancellor, he's in charge of the school, and that nobody is going to keep Jewish students from entering the library. But I haven't heard any reaction. Now, he's almost done. Poor guy. He's been anonymous since he took over in 2007. 17 years. And July 31st is his last day. And now all of a sudden, he has Palestinian terrorists stopping the Jewish students from going to the library. And apparently Gene Block, even though he's a thought leader, even though he plays a vital external role, even though he shapes the vision and strategic plan of UCLA, doesn't know what to do. He can't even empower the campus police to go over to the library and tell the Palestinian terrorists to scram. And if they don't scram, we're calling the real police, and they're going to have you evicted. Because at UCLA, you can't stop kids from entering the library for any reason, especially based on their religion or ethnicity. Isn't that basic? Wow. And let me see. Let's read his biography. How did he become the man he is? Under Chancellor Block's leadership, UCLA has greatly enhanced its position as a national leader in enrolling undergraduates who come from low-income backgrounds, have been traditionally underrepresented in higher education, and among their first in the families to go to college. So if it was poor Black and Hispanic students who were blocked from the library, while the protesters chanted Allahu Akbar or some other, I don't know what you would chant at Black and Hispanic students, but some other ugly chant that made it clear they want to kill you. Would this still be going on? I mean, he's championing these low-income background students. He doesn't champion Jewish students? Wow. He's an expert in neuroscience. No, he's a smart guy. I mean, his current research focuses on the effects of aging in the nervous system and how it impacts biological timing in mammals. He holds faculty appointments in psychiatry, has a master's and PhD in psychology from the University of Oregon. Wow. And he's also served as vice president and provost, University of Virginia. He also was the professor of biology there. He was vice president for research and public service in Virginia. And then he came to UCLA. So he's an accomplished academic. So he must understand the biology of mob behavior, of group behavior, and how people band together to bully and commit violent acts against an out-of-favor tribe like the Jews at the moment. And last August, he said he's going to be retiring, July 31st. Just in time to oversee the banishment of Jewish students from the UCLA library. So a capstone to an excellent, impressive academic career. What a way to go out. Do exactly, oversee a policy that exactly mimics what they did in Nazi Germany. And the same thing they did in the South in the 1950s when Jim Crow laws were enforced. You deny people access to a library that their parents' tuition and taxes paid for because they're the wrong ethnicity, they're the wrong religion. Chancellor Gene Block, there should be some kind of prize for you. Maybe a Nobel Prize in humanity. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, you remember the case? Oh, it's a sad story. But today we have finally sentencing in the case of four-year-old Noah Quatro. He was the little Palmdale boy whose parents tortured and killed him back in July 2019. And they both parents got sentenced. And we're going to speak with Brian Claypool, who's been involved in the case representing some family members. It's a terrible case. And the Department of Child and Family Services, which is a brutally incompetent, cruel department. I don't know how it still exists in the county, but the Board of Supervisors don't care. Children could die and nothing will ever get changed at the Department of Children and Family Services. We'll talk about the whole case again because it has been almost 5 years. And that's how long it takes to put two parents in jail for torturing and killing their kid. One more thing. I mentioned this briefly, but there's more detail here from the Wall Street Journal about this stupid demand. When you hear the list of demands by the terrorist students and outside agitators, that they demand that Columbia University divest itself from any investments in companies that produce weapons. They tried this in the past, too, with oil companies. The climate change fanatics want colleges, universities not to invest in energy stocks, right? Nothing could be more useless, more pathetic, more ineffective, more feeble than to make an organization like Columbia sell their stock in any weapons companies or oil companies. Because Columbia, even though it has an endowment of $14 billion, it's a tiny, tiny little microscopic drop in the vast ocean of money swirling out there. For example, Microsoft, which the protesters want sold. Protesters want Columbia to sell the Microsoft stock. That company alone is valued at $3 trillion. Columbia has only $14 billion to play with in total. Selling stock has no effect. There's always somebody to sell stock to who don't care whether Israel is getting weaponry or doesn't care that oil companies produce oil. They just want to make a profit from a successful industry. Because when the oil companies profit or the weapons companies profit, then people who own the stock profit. And that's all most investors care about. Now, you could have the best intentions and be a nice little goody-good, or you could be an angry terrorist demanding divestment. Doesn't matter. Most of the people in the stock market game are in there to make profits, period. I'll give you an example. There's always been people demanding that they don't invest in coal, and they will not invest in coal. Well, what happened after Russia invaded Ukraine? Energy shortages. Suddenly, coal development was very valuable. Coal companies, their shares soared. Now, the investors who wanted the world to stop using coal could not affect the production. Didn't matter whether they bought the stock or not. They could never buy the stock. They could sell all their stock. They could scream and rant and rave and stamp their feet to sell coal stock. Didn't matter. Coal became more valuable after the Russian invasion. If you sell the shares cheaply, according to the Wall Street Journal, it just leaves the buyer owning the future profits at a bargain price. And the companies, most important to Israelis' military and to their oil production, belong, well, the control belongs to the governments that supply the military aid. Like the United States supplies a lot of military aid to Israel. So not buying a weapons company, stock in a weapons company, or trying to get Columbia or UCLA to sell their investments in a weapons company makes no difference. The U.S. is going to send just as much military help to Israel as possible. So will all the other Israeli allies, and so will Israel itself buy and use whatever weaponry it needs. Same thing in the climate debate. Five of the top 10 oil producers are controlled by Saudi Arabia, China, Mexico, and Brazil. And they pump far more than the five biggest private U.S. and U.K. producers. So you could say, well, I will never own any stock in a U.S. oil company. It's like, who cares? Saudi Arabian governments and China and Mexico and Brazil, they pump more oil than we do. In fact, for all the talk of climate change and boycotts and divestment, global production of oil in the final quarter of last year broke the previous record set in 2018. There's more oil being pumped out of the ground and used than ever before. Geez, how did that happen? But Gavin Newsom solved that problem, right? In fact, Columbia was one of the few universities who publicly acknowledged how pointless divesting shares of oil stocks are. Because they had a committee. It was called the Socially Responsible Investing Committee. Boy, doesn't that sound like the Soviet Union? And the Socially Responsible Investing Committee told Columbia they were against a ban on oil stocks 4 years ago. Because the oil companies are going to be able to get as much money and as much investment as they want. And there's nothing that's going to stop them. In other words, join the party, buy the oil stocks, buy the weapon stocks. You'll make a lot of money. You're not going to stop the world from doing what it does. But of course, not one in a thousand of these stupid protester students know about how the stock market works and why demanding divestiture is pointless. But truth is, it doesn't matter. They're there to create anarchy. They're not there to get the college to divest. They're there to destroy the peaceful flow of life at the universities and really keep the Jewish students from studying and learning, taking their final exams, even going to the library. That's their purpose. It's to terrorize Jewish students. It's to terrorize Jewish students, make them fearful that they might die if they go to the library. That's the purpose of these terrorists. It's not some high-minded financial analysis about divestiture, but you won't find any of these jackholes in the media figuring that out anytime soon.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.